Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, praise God, I get to come to you again with some more truth, edification, and learning from God's holy word. What a joyous thing. Today's topic, did John the Baptist die over divorce and remarriage or incest? Interesting title, isn't it? This is part of my ongoing series on divorce and remarriage. I need to cover this topic, and you can check them out at DontPerish.com, go to the teaching blog, or go to our teaching library, look up divorce, many, many articles there to help you in this complex topic. Today, we're going to talk about the details of John the Baptist and that situation he had with Herod. If you've read the scriptures at all, I'm sure you know, John got into trouble, jail, ultimately death, for calling out Herod's marriage. Got his head cut off. He paid the price, didn't he? Let's read about it. Matthew 14, 1 through 4. And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, for his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." Now, let's talk about this. So, we do a lot of witnessing to Anabaptists, Mennonites, Kingdom Christians, Amish, mostly Mennonite, Kingdom Christians, things of that nature bring this up. German Baptist, Hutterites, all of those false man-made tradition religious systems. And we stand against them and we witness against the many things. They have a false gospel. They have a lot of carnality. They have a lot of false theology. But they also teach heresy on no divorce ever, no remarriage ever, and no pre-conversion divorce or remarriage is forgiven. And again, if you go look at my articles, I am covering almost every topic I can think of, working through them. I think I've worked through most of them already. And those, what they teach are lies, and I use God's word to refute that. And I want to be clear, we stand for marriage. We stand for one marriage between a man and a woman for life. We don't degrade that. That was God's original intent. But sin came into the world, and our gracious Father in heaven made allowances for sin. Yeah, if you don't think he did, you're alive today. You've sinned. You should have been killed. Me too. God made allowances for sin. He doesn't make allowance, or I should say he made allowances because of our sin. He does not allow sin. And we'll talk about that, the allowances that he made when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So now these false Anabaptist heretics, they often quote John the Baptist, and per Jesus, John was the greatest man who ever lived. Matthew 11, what a great credentials. And they say that he was saying Herod was in sin because he was divorced and he got remarried. See, they stand against any divorce, any remarriage for any reason. So they say that was the reason John the Baptist called him out. I'm going to show you that's not the reason John the Baptist got his head cut off and called him out. This is twisted Anabaptist theology. It's a lie. They wrongfully use it to prop up their false man-made doctrines. Their own founders like Menno and other men, early church fathers that they adore, did not believe what they believe. They've come up with this more recently. I'm going to use scripture, and I'm going to show you that the reason John got his head cut off regarding Herod's marriage was because of incest, inter-family marriage that God did not allow. All right, let's go there. So what does John the Baptist specifically say? Mark 6:18. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Ah, there's a key right there. Not lawful to have your brother's wife. So Philip is Herod's brother, and he is the ex-husband of Herodias. He's still alive, and Herodias had children with him. All right, so keep that in mind. He's still alive. She had children with her husband, Philip the brother. Now she went and married Herod, Philip's brother. She married her brother-in-law while her husband still lived and after she had children. Keep that in mind. So John calls him out, not for remarriage. I'm going to prove to you. He called him out because he took his brother's wife unlawfully, according to Torah law, which they were under at that time. Now, why would this matter to a holy man like John the Baptist? John was a holy man. He was a prophet. He was under Torah law. He knew the scriptures very well. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, Moses, holy man, close to God, Moses, instructed by God, allows divorce and remarriage in the people of God. It was not sinful for them to do this. It might not have been right. It wasn't what God intended. It was because of the hardness of their hearts, we find out later, Jesus says. But God allowed it. That's that allowance for sin I was telling you about. And we'll read it and we'll find out why our merciful Father allowed it. It's not because it's inconsistent with his character and nature. No, I'm actually going to show you it actually bolsters his character and nature. But let's read Deuteronomy 24:1. Moses says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give it to her in her hand, and send her out of his house. Yep, like I said, they were divorcing for all kinds of reasons. Women might have been getting older. They wanted younger wives. Lots of hardness of the heart, wrong, sinful ways, selfishness ways, selfish ways that they were using. And it was allowed under Moses. And I believe that God allowed it mostly to protect the women. All right. Think about it. In that culture, you couldn't go out and live on your own as a woman, have a job or a career like it is today. A woman gets put out because a husband thinks she has wrinkles or she doesn't cook good or whatever, throws her out, takes another wife. What becomes of her? She's got no legitimate divorce from her husband. She can't remarry. She's going to become a prostitute out in the streets, maybe, or homeless and a beggar. No, what does God do? God allows for a divorce to be given to her so she could go out and legitimately, biblically remarry. You see the mercy of our Father, the spirit versus the letter? His letter was, nobody should be getting a divorce. But the spirit says, I'm going to cover you just like Jesus covers us when we sin and we repent and he forgives us and we do better. The spirit covers. What a glorious Father that we have. So Moses allowed, and this I read that because this refutes the Anabaptist theology of marriage permanence, only once for life, God made it a mystical bond and you can never take another. No, Moses was allowing it and God told Moses to allow it. My articles cover all of that, all right? So then we move on into the book of Leviticus, and we find another key to John's issue with Herod laying with his brother's wife. Incest, not divorce and remarriage, is the reason John got his head cut off. Leviticus 18:16. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Did you catch that? I'm going to read another one. It says the same thing. Leviticus 20, verse 21. And if any man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. Notice what is the wrong issue here. You're uncovering your brother's nakedness. You know, when you read the Old Testament and even the New Testament, and the churchianity people totally disregard this, God is serious about the covering of the human body, and God hates nakedness. It's sin, it's immorality, it's against his nature. He covered us in Genesis 3 with tunic-like garments as he wanted us covered after sin. So when you lay with another, if you lay with your sister-in-law, you're uncovering your brother's nakedness. It isn't even about the divorce and remarriage. You're uncovering your brother's nakedness. This is very, very important to God. We've got a lot of articles on biblical dress for men and women at our teaching blog. This is why we teach on it. God cares about how we dress. And whether we walk around naked, which could be in shorts, little tops, tight clothes, things like that. If you read those chapters in Leviticus, I encourage you to go do that. It lists all the inner family sexual relationships that God forbids. So I'm proving that this is about incest. You were forbidden to take your brother's wife, you're uncovering his nakedness, if he's alive, and here's another caveat, has she had children with him? So God, another spirit versus the letter, the amazing grace of God, he gives an option. Let's read about in Matthew 22:24, this is brought up, and then we'll read the Old Testament. In Matthew 22:24, it says this, saying, Master, they're speaking to Jesus, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. This is talking about what Moses said here. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. This is the word of God here. The words of God. Moses is speaking for God. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no children, no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. Did you catch that? So they haven't had children together. Her husband dies. She now can marry her brother-in-law, per Moses, a special exemption. Okay? And again, this is done because of the grace and the love of our Father. What's going to happen to that woman? No children, no family. God allows her to remain in the family with a brother now that her husband's dead and she didn't have children. Spirit versus the letter. What a beautiful thing. The mercy and grace of our Father. Now, I realize the Anabaptist heretics are going to say, see, only when her husband's dead can she go and remarry, because that's the only time a marriage bond is ever broken. Then she can go remarry. No, that's not true at all in this case, because it's an incest case. It's only after the death of her husband and she's had no children. She falls into a special category. And this must, I'm not sure, this must remove the close family lines that God wanted forbid through all of those exemptions of marrying, you know, within families. And also, as I said, this is a protection for a woman whose husband has died. She has no children, assumably no family. What's she going to do? Become homeless? Become a prostitute? Become a beggar? Nope. Her brother, her ex-brother-in-law, would be her ex-brother-in-law now, would be able to take her as a wife if she's had no children. And we talk about this a lot. It's why the hard no remarriage stance of the Anabaptists is so wrong. They cling right to the letter every time. They don't focus on any type of spirit. And God obviously allowed the spirit of marriage. He wanted it to be between one man and woman for life. He allowed it to be different because of man's sinfulness. The letter says one marriage, no divorce, no remarriage, but he allows it. Look at this case. He allows the ex-sister-in-law to have protection and to be able to have a life with her new husband because her husband's gone and she didn't have children. So God forbid certain things, but in the case like that, he allows it, spirit versus letter. And also, as I said before, in the case of where men were just tossing their wives away over hard hearts, God, in the act of love and spirit, he allowed them to go out and remarry. Again, you need to really pay attention to this. It's a beautiful mercy and grace of God. We get second chances, third chances. Hey, 7 times 70, how many chances we get? Not necessarily for marriage, but I'm talking about sin. And this is the same under pre-conversion divorce. Another big issue we have with the Anabaptists. God makes a way through new life in Jesus Christ, being washed clean, being made a new creation. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things become new. So that means me. I was divorced as an unbelieving pagan. I've never been divorced as a Christian. I've never been divorced as one serving the Most High. He's made me a new creation. Spirit versus the letter, right? God makes all things new. It's a glorious thing. The marriage permanence heretics, they have no answer for these things I'm bringing up here. It's very clear in Scripture. God allowed biblical divorce under Moses. God actually told the men in Ezra to get divorced from their pagan wives. They have no answer for that. But you couldn't divorce a wife and go and marry your sister. That's an incest issue. And that's what it was with John the Baptist. All of this allowable biblical remarrying, I'll say, what God allowed, it's proving again that one marriage for life, some mystical marriage permanence bond that they teach, it may have been God's intent in the beginning, but it is not so in Scripture, not at all. God designed marriage for life, but sin corrupted things. God made allowances in his mercy. Hey, Solomon had hundreds of wives. David had hundreds of wives. Right after God ordains marriage between a man and a woman, what is it? Lamech in Genesis 4 takes two wives. So we see that it just was not as they claim in Scripture. Moses spoke for God. He allowed divorce and remarriage. Jesus allowed for the exception clause, divorce. And we see Paul and Jesus recognized multiple marriages with the woman at the well. And Paul also later recognizes remarriage. We'll get to that. So going back to this incest, interfamily marriages, it was forbidden under Levitical law unless specific things were met, like death of the husband and no children. Herod didn't fall under that. He was in an incest relationship with his living brother's wife who had children with her. John, holy man of God, was calling out Herod for having his brother's wife. It was only because Philip, his brother, was alive, and he already had children with her. And per Torah law, he said, it's not lawful. Per Torah law, no brother could take his brother's wife in that case while his brother's alive and he had children with her. Now, going back to the New Testament word, we spoke about it already. Jesus allows for divorce after sexual immorality, the exception clause. I have articles on that. He acknowledged the lady's marriages at the woman at the well. We have articles and we talk about that. Paul allows for remarriage. Go see the word agamos in 1 Corinthians 7. And he allows for those that are divorced before they were in Christ to not burn with lust. He said it's better you remarry. There's spirit versus letter. Hey, it'd be better if you don't get married, Paul said. Right? That's best. If you've been divorced, don't ever get remarried again. But you know what's better than burning with lust and laying with a prostitute and doing all kinds of wicked things outside of the marriage bed? It's better to go get remarried. Yeah, because the marriage bond is an honorable thing when it's done in Christ. So God's spirit versus the letter. We see all these examples of marriage permanence being destroyed. We see all these examples of biblical remarriage. We see a loving God that makes all things new. And we see John the Baptist calling out Herod from marrying his brother Philip's wife while Philip lives and she already bore children with him. It was clearly an incest issue. It was not about Herod's remarriage situation. And here's a fact. They really don't want to answer this. Even if Philip was dead, they say, oh, when you die, the marriage thing is broken. Herod still couldn't marry her. Why? She had children with Philip. See how God's word covers everything? He couldn't have had her as his wife. That's why John called him out. He unlawfully took her as his wife. Ended up costing John his head. So these Anabaptist heretical men, they really have no biblical answers for these things that I bring up. They try to twist scripture. And when I raise it, they'll try to refuse this about all these issues I give you. They're really cowards. They hide in the dark. And then I've had them use John to prove their false marriage doctrines. They try to use that on me. And then when I tell them, oh no, that's not what God's word teaches, that John was teaching it was incest issue, then you know what they've said to me? They turn it around and they say, well, John was in the Old Testament, so that doesn't matter anyway. They're double standards. They're double-minded. They're weak in their theology. They're following man-made traditions. Like I said, Menno didn't even teach what they teach. The early church fathers that they adore, some of them didn't even believe what they believe today. They came up with this no remarriage, divorce, no pre-conversion marriage, marriage permanence to keep their little kingdom communities pure of us evil, wicked people that ever had divorce in our past, even though Christ has cleansed us and made us new creations. See how they shut up the kingdom of heaven? When Christ has made us clean and new and whole? Yeah, that's what they're doing. I need to bring up another point here. John the Baptist, the greatest man per Jesus, he died over calling out one sin of a leader. You know what? Please, men, don't come to me via email or in person or text or whatever and tell me that I'm ungodly, I'm sinful, I'm mean-spirited, when I call out the sins of today's false leaders. I'm just imitating John the Baptist. So far, it hasn't cost me my head yet. It may cost me a lawsuit someday. It may cost me much physical harm someday. I'm just imitating the greatest man that ever lived. He's calling out sin because God hates all sin. And the people of God who claim Christ, Herod was a practicing Jew, should have known better, but he was living in sin and wickedness, like the American churchianity people today, claiming Christ, but living in sin and wickedness. They need to be called out. Here's a fact. I need to do a whole teaching on this. The culture today and churchianity has become used to sin. You know, like the frog. Set him in water, he's used to it cool. Put a burner under it, he'll boil alive. He never feels the temperature change. That's what's happened to the culture. They live in so much sin. They don't even know what holiness is anymore. And they think if you call out one or two or three sins, you're being evil, wicked, mean-spirited, legalistic, judgmental. That's because sin reigns today. In John's day, sin did not reign. You were killed under the Torah law for many of these things. And so, something to consider. Don't come telling me by calling out sin, we're not serving God. We're actually serving God. 1 Timothy 5 says, call out those who claim Christ publicly, who live in sin, and expose them. So if you claim to be born of God, I'm going to tell you this. If you claim that you're born of Christ, you want to be great unto God, you better be calling out sin in your life, and you better be calling out sin in the life of other so-called saints and leaders around you. Otherwise, you're complacent with them. You know, it's crazy. Man's law says if you know someone's going to kill someone or commit a bank robbery, and you don't call it out and warn somebody, you can go to jail because you helped them. Yet in Christianity, oh, everybody hides their eyes to everybody's willful sin, and they think, oh, God's not going to hold me responsible. God's law is higher than man's law. God's law is going to be more extreme on judgment day. You better make sure that you're calling out sin in your life, and sin in the people around you. So this topic that I just covered is clear. John the Baptist was calling him out for an incest marriage, not just divorce and remarriage. And this also shows that just going and reading a verse and pulling out your theology from one verse, that's called eisegesis. I'm going to make the Bible say what I want it to say for my theology. No, we have to study. We have to rightly divide the Word of God. And we have to use good exegesis, exit the truth of God's Word. And so we're walking in the truth of God's Word. You don't just read John calling out Herod and say, oh, divorce and remarriage. You have to read it and go, why did John call it out? What was the context of the situation? What other verses back up what John said? And as I've showed you, it proves that it was incest. So don't use eisegesis. Use good exegesis. That's what I strive to do at my teaching blog, at our teaching library. Go there, see the divorce and remarriage articles. I'm sure there's going to be more topics. I don't know what they are. I'm covering them as they come up. I have a couple in the back of my mind, I guess. But there'll be more divorce and remarriage teachings to glorify God, His Spirit versus the letter, His grace, His mercy, to help people that have pre-conversion divorce, remarriage in their past, and to help people rightly see these wicked Anabaptists are wrong on this doctrine, and they're wrong on so many doctrines. Christmas, Easter, the gospel, how they dress, head covering, ecumenicalism, on and on. And that's what I want to show, how to make sure that you keep your walk pure. John the Baptist lived in a desert, kept his walk pure with God. If you need to walk in a desert away from all these false religious people to keep yourself pure, you and I need to be doing that if we want to be called great in the kingdom of God. Amen? So go check out those resources at don'tperish.com. Again, the teaching blog or the teaching library. Shoot me an email, man, if I can help you in the faith. And let me know if you think I've got it wrong. I want to hear about it. I'm waiting. I've done some truth drawings of me asleep at my computer, waiting for the emails to refute what I'm simply saying, what God's Word says. I have no truth. I got nothing, all right? I just have the Word of God, and I know what it says, and I'm like John the Baptist in one small way. I'm no John the Baptist, but I'm like John the Baptist in one small way. I know the truth of God's Word, and I will not be moved from it. And I hope the day comes when they say they're going to cut my head off. I plan to stand there and say, you better get it done because I'm not recanting on my Lord's truth. I hope that's your desire too, to be a John the Baptist in your day. Check out those resources. Thanks for listening. More to come on divorce and remarriage, and a lot more to come at the teaching blog and the teaching library. Soon we'll be out street preaching, new street preaching, a few videos, lots of street preaching audios and stories from the road. lifting up Christ crucified, calling out false man-made religion, making disciples for the glory of our God. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, I come to you again, if the Lord wills. May God be praised.